the high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the time may be and whatever time zone you're residing in. All of them, every single one of them, covered by this program. It's called Coast to Coast AM Weekend Edition. I'm Art Bell, and it is great to be here. First, I would like to thank Matthew Morrison of Tulsa, Oklahoma, for tonight's webcam shot. I had to crop it a little bit to fit it into the webcam window. However, he did that. Matthew did that. And he did. That was a picture that I got many years ago representing, supposedly, the Chupacabra. And I might add that it really was the only picture of its kind of the Chupacabra. At any rate, he's added a few little artistic touches in here that I thought made it very cute indeed. How'd you like to see one of those show up on your front doorstep? Well, if you did, you'd certainly want a milk bone handy, wouldn't you? And don't miss the very bottom of it where it says, "New Bloodier Taste." Great stuff. Hey, tomorrow night we're going to, and well, actually tonight, in just a little while, we will open the lines. Unscreened, unprotected, unpretentious, wild, unpredictable, open lines. Now, what I would like some of you to do, those of you who have, I understand, you know, it's nearly impossible to get through on the phone. So I'm going to offer the following, which will give you 24 hours of prep time. If any of you have anything that absolutely, positively has got to get on the radio because it is such a good, riveting, dramatic story, then what you need to do is email me and give me a brief, just a very brief outline of what the story is and include your phone number, and I will call you. This is kind of an opportunity in a lifetime because normally the phones, well, already I've got five lines sitting here ringing solid. So the odds of anybody ever getting through at any particular moment are slim and none. I understand that. So what I want you to do is give me a brief idea of what your story is, and if it's really an interesting one, I will call you. And the way we're going to accomplish this is by you sending me email. You can reach me in one of two places, artbell@mindspring.com or artbell@aol.com. And if your story is sufficiently alluring, don't forget your phone number, then I'll call you tomorrow night. So you have 24 hours in which to put just a brief description of what absolutely positively must get on the air together with your phone number and send it off to me and we'll see. Now, before we begin tonight's early version of Any Open Lines, I do have a few things. The following comes from livescience.com. And I must say, this one rocked me back on my heels. By shooting intense radio beams into the night sky, researchers created a modest neon light show visible from the ground. The process is not well understood, but scientists speculate it could one day be employed to light a city or even generate celestial advertisements. Researchers with the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, or HARP, project up in Alaska, tickled the upper atmosphere to the extent that it glowed with green speckles. These speckles were sprinkled amid a natural display known as the Aurora Borealis, or Northern Lights. The aurora occurs, of course, when electrons from a cloud of hot gas known as plasma rain down from space and excite the holy heck out of molecules in the ionosphere about 30 miles up. Now, the HARP experiment involves acres of antennas and, I might add, a 1 megawatt, that's megawatt, generator. The scientists sent radio pulses skyward every 7.5 seconds, explained team leader Todd Peterson of the Air Force Research Laboratory. Ha-ha, the Air Force, huh? The radio waves travel up to the ionosphere where they excite the electrons in the plasma, he told Live Science. These electrons then collide with atmospheric gases, which give off light, as in a neon tube. Peterson and his colleagues missed the light show, but they snapped images. Unfortunately, he said, we were indoors watching the data on monitors during the experiment, and we were busy scrambling trying to make sure the effects were real and not some glitch with the equipment, he said, joyously. We knew right away there was something extraordinary showing up in real time on the monitor against the natural aurora, but did not confirm that it would have been visible to the naked eye until a day or two later when we had a chance to calibrate the raw data. The experiment is detailed in the February 2nd issue of the journal Nature. The researchers could improve understanding of the aurora and also help explain how the ionosphere adversely affects radio communications. Well, 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 well. Think what these men have just done. They have, in essence, created an aurora. That's right. They have some reason to believe that with or without a natural aurora, they can throw enough power up there so that things will begin sparkling and giving off light in the ionosphere. And this is such an incredible thing to have done. I mean, it takes the sun bombarding the ionosphere normally to create an aurora, right? And these guys have done it with HARP. Now, let's think about this. What does it mean when you have created an aurora? Well, baby, when you've done that, you can affect radio conditions. You can affect all kinds of things, actually. So that's an incredible feat to have actually created an aurora. I worry much about what they're doing up there. And by the way, I would like to take this opportunity to invite any HARP officials, anybody involved directly with the project, to phone up my producer and definitely get yourself on the program. We have lots and lots of questions for you, but that is this week's HARP news, and it's non-trivial. Now, what do they say we're going to do with it? Light up a city or maybe put up advertisements. Nonsense. That's not what they're after at all. They're not trying to create some mechanism that would light a city or provide some new venue for Coca-Cola to scroll across the sky. That's not it at all. They're working on other stuff. The Air Force and the other military services and, of course, the lettered agencies do not become involved in projects throwing billions of watts at the ionosphere so they can advertise something. Nonsense. So there you have it. That's the latest, and I must say, somewhat shocking information from the northern latitudes. The massive West Antarctic ice sheet, previously assumed to be stable. Now, where do you think I'm going with this story? It's from New Scientist, and I just love stories that begin this way. The massive West Antarctic ice sheet, previously assumed to be stable, is starting to collapse, warned scientists on Tuesday. Antarctica contains more than 90% of the world's ice, and the loss of any significant part of it would cause substantial sea level rise. Scientists used to view Antarctica as a slumbering giant, said Chris Rapley from the British Antarctic Survey. But now he sees it as a, quote, awakened giant, end quote. Rapley presented measurements of the ice sheet at a major climate conference in Exeter, United Kingdom. Glaciers on the Antarctic Peninsula, which protrudes from the continent to the north, were already known to be retreating, but the data Rapley presented showed the glaciers within the much larger West Antarctic ice sheet also are beginning to disappear. This is important stuff, folks. The ice on the peninsula melts entirely. Should it do so, it will raise global sea levels 0.3 meters. And the West Antarctic ice sheet contains enough water to contribute meters more. The last report of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, published in 2001, said the collapse of this ice sheet was unlikely during the 21st century. That may now need to be reassessed, said Rapley. Changes on the peninsula, where 75% of the 400 mountain glaciers are in retreat, have provided new insights into the way that ice sheets may disintegrate. In March of 2002, a huge floating ice shelf known as Larsen B shattered into icebergs. Now, this turned out to have an effect, they say here, akin to pulling a cork from a bottle. That's right, pulling a cork from a bottle, and we all know what happens when you do that, right? With Larson B no longer impeding the movement, ice floes that fed the shelf began moving faster and faster toward the sea and began to thin. The finding took scientists by surprise when revealed in September of 2004, and now modelers are working hard to try to include such mechanisms in their predictions. Anyway, I have always loved and always will love science stories that begin that way. Assumed, previously assumed to be stable. Oops. And akin to removing a cork from a bottle. Wonderful stuff. Vietnam's biggest city, following up on something I've been trying to stay with week after week after week, Vietnam's biggest city, home to 10 million people, began slaughtering its ducks on Wednesday in an increasingly desperate fight to halt the spread of the deadly bird flu virus that now has killed 13 people in the last month. Doesn't sound like much, right? Health workers and inspectors in Ho Chi Minh City, I'll never get used to calling it that, accompanied by police, headed to farms to collect ducks which can carry the H5N1 virus without showing symptoms, as well as pigeons being raised for food. So they collected all of them. The birds are to be killed by burning or being buried alive, according to an animal health official. This is absolutely incredible, just millions of them. After the killing, duck raising will not be allowed for 1 year, according to the city's animal health department. World Health Organization, WHO officials have headed to the Cambodian province of Kampot, which abuts Vietnam, across a porous border to investigate the area the Cambodian woman came from. Relatives of the dead woman said chickens had died, and they had cooked and eaten them with her. They later complained of respiratory problems, raising concerns of a more widespread outbreak among poultry in general. Test results on the dead birds were due on Thursday, said officials. And while all of that's going on and the threat of bird flu is in our face just about every day, there's a new story about that, as though they, you know, the expectation is absolutely that it's going to occur. Bothers me. Here's a story just to the north of me entitled Canadian Geese Falling Out of the Sky in Oregon. Now, these things are very, very important to pay attention to, folks. When geese start fall out of the sky, like that, you've got to pay attention. Geese are literally falling from the sky in and around Kaiser, and wildlife experts don't have a clue why. About 150 Canada geese were found dead Friday at a private pond off Wheatland Road, owned by Morse Brothers Rock Products in rural Marion County. 30 or so of the dead birds were discovered 3 months ago near Strats Lake, a private lake in Kaiser. Wildlife officials said that in recent weeks, large numbers of dead geese also have been found in Mammoth and McMinnville. They don't know if the incidents are related. There are a number of possibilities here, including avian cholera. So those of you up in Oregon are going to want to keep a very sharp eye on this. And when birds start falling out of the sky, yes, it could be pollution or some other environmental factor, or it could be something far more dangerous. More in a moment. All right, the following tidbit, obviously, you could not get through the balance of the weekend without having this with you discuss in mixed company or something. Would you pay to see a monkey's backside? Hope not. Monkeys will, though. And I guess that's okay. though it sounds awfully close to the sort of thing that lands guys in jail here in the human realm. This is also from LiveScience.com. A new study seems to have found that male monkeys will give up their juice rewards in order to ogle pictures of female monkey bottoms. Now, the way the experiment was set up, the act is akin to paying for the images, say the researchers. The rhesus monkeys also splurged, it seems, on photos of top dog counterparts, the high-ranking primates. Maybe that's like you or me buying People magazine. In other words, I don't know, the monkey of the year or something. The research, which will, see, you can get money to research anything. The research, which will be detailed in the March issue of Current Biology, gets even more interesting. You see, the scientists actually had to pay these guys, the monkeys, in the form of extra juice to get them to look at images of lower-ranking monkeys. Curiously, the monkeys in the test hadn't had any direct physical contact with the monkeys in the photo, so they didn't have personal experience with who was hot and who was not. So, somehow, they are getting this information by observation, seeing other individuals interact, said Michael Platt of the Duke University Medical Center. Next, Platt and his colleagues want to see how people will perform in a similar experiment. Well, we already know people pay to see other bottoms, right? It's all over the internet. So we know people do it. What's the deal here? And so then, and we even know that they buy People magazine, right? So the interesting, beautiful people, we look at them. Just, and so monkeys do exactly the same thing. Whether it's an attractive monkey bottom or it's a prestigious monkey toward the higher part of the monkey food chain, they will pay. I mean, that's quite remarkable when you think about it, isn't it? So they simply established, you know, a regimen of reward and whatever. I guess reward and payment. Juice becomes the realm, the coin of the realm, and either they pay to see a bottom, Or they're paid to look at something they normally wouldn't even give a glance. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, my name is Bill Gidley.
You know, not last name. Never give a last name. That's a very staunch rule here. So your name is Bill.
Right.
Bill, where are you?
I'm in California in Riverside.
Okay. What's up?
Well, I sent Art an email.
I am Art.
Oh, okay. I saw a program on the Science Channel 9, and it's going to re-air at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And one of the things that they talked about was an invention called HARP, which you're talking about tonight.
Yes, go ahead, HARP.
Yeah. And the main topic of the program was controlling the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they showed the guy that was hired by, how this guy, I can't remember the scientist's name.
You may recall the Air Force uses the slogan, actually, owning the weather.
Right.
Yes, owning the weather.
So what it was is that initially this guy had a lot of background in meteorology, and ARCO, the petroleum company, hired him to show them how they can extract natural gas out of some place in Alaska without having to transport it.
Hmm.
And he built this platform with which looks like a bunch of antennas.
You mean, are you suggesting they would turn it into some sort of energy they would then beam elsewhere? Is that the idea?
Right, transforming the energy.
Okay, you know, that actually makes some sense. Thank you very much. It makes a lot of sense. And think about it for a moment. It's kind of like the idea of putting a satellite in orbit and beaming down by microwave the results of many solar collectors. And that's eminently something we can do. I mean, it's well within the realm of the science that we know. So why not, indeed, why not, extract natural gas from the ground, if you can find it, and, well, HARP probably helps with that, right? Underground bunkers, tunnels, and who knows, oil, gas, and everything else, too. At any rate, they find it, they bring it up, they turn it into energy, and then they beam it somewhere. Instead of actually having to transport the natural gas, they simply convert it into another form of energy and either transport it with some a normal terrestrial route, or they do something rather exotic like beaming it on, beaming it to a satellite and back to Earth somewhere. Who knows? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art. My name's Tim. I'm calling from Mobile, Alabama.
Hey, Tim.
I've been listening to you about 6 months now over StreamLink at work.
Yes.
I love the show.
Thank you.
I've listened to a lot of your shows where you've had UFO people on and people who talk about disclosure.
Yes.
And I had an idea. I was wondering if you thought the government might be forced into some type of disclosure
to
the public.
If we could force them into a disclosure, you mean?
Yeah. We'll get.
Hey, listen, buddy. We're at a break point. Can you hold on?
Sure.
I'll think about that during the break. How we could force the government into disclosure. We'll be right back.
Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Like this music gets my blood going. I once got to introduce the Grassroots and the Guess Who on stage up in Anchorage, Alaska. It was a blast. Anyway, good evening, everybody, or morning, whatever the case may be. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Reminding you, tomorrow night, open lines as well, and I'm giving you a unique opportunity tonight. Let me sift through the chaff a little bit, so to speak, to be honest with you. And here it is. Here's my idea. If you have something that absolutely, positively, absolutely must get on the air tomorrow night because it is such a compelling, interesting story, then you need to email me in the next 24 hours with a very short synopsis, enough to tempt me, and your phone number. And then we'll turn the tables and I'll call you. So you would send such a constructed email to artbell@aol.com or artbell@mindspring.com. artbell@aol.com or artbell@mindspring.com. We will review them. Pull what looks really good, and who knows, you may absolutely positively be on the air tomorrow night. Maybe.
Nothing.
Kirsty in Bono, Arkansas says, hey, Art, what in the world have you got on your webcam? At first I thought it was a black pug on steroids advertising milkbone dog chews, but it's not. What in God's name is it? Well, we don't know. It has been said to be a chupacabra, and as I said with the illustration about it of Matthew in Tulsa, Oklahoma, it is, it's just, I thought, kind of cute. That is indeed the original submitted picture of a chupacabra. Somewhat altered, not the picture itself, but the rest of it with the milk bones and all the rest of that. I like the little caption on the bottom, new bloodier flavor. Chupacabras are goat suckers. That's what that means in Spanish, goat sucker. And they plunge two very sharp needle-like front teeth into the neck of the goat and drain all of its blood. And for a while in the southwest part of the U.S. and, of course, South America, Central America, the chupacabra was pretty wild stuff. Haven't had any recent reports, but to answer your question, Kirsty, chupacabra. Chupa for short. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art. What I was wanting to know is I was wanting to get know what you thought about the government may be forced into some type of disclosure. Commercialization of space flight. You got like Spaceship One and the Space Island Group who have got plans to go up in the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to record the same things that's been recorded on the STS missions and ask questions.
Well, yes, if those things are really going on, then we could expect, I would think, the truth from such a private mission. However, I don't know that, we're going to see things perhaps flitting about in orbit or just outside the orbit of the U.S., or the U.S., the world, but still, that's not the same as going to the moon or going elsewhere. I would like wouldn't you love to have a private spaceship, go to the moon, make some orbits, take some really close pictures, settle the damn argument once and for all.
Also, if you would let me, I'd like to throw a monkey wrench into free energy.
Well, you don't have to. It's already got a monkey wrench in there, but if you feel the need to toss another one, go ahead.
Well, I've heard like rumors and ideas of robbing the Earth's magnetic field to, like, power a house.
Yes.
I think this is a bad idea.
Why?
Maybe one house would be fine, but when you start getting millions of houses powered by this, you'd have to ask what would happen to the Earth's magnetic field. And I thank you, Art, for the time, and I'll hang up and listen to you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Well, I don't know. I think the monkey wrench in the free energy thing is that it's not real. That's the monkey wrench. If somebody would once show me even so much as a over-unity gain toy, just a little toy, something that would scoot across the floor and make me go, wow, look at that. It goes forever. It's perpetual motion. It's free energy. I would be jumping up and down, as many others would be, but I've never seen. I've heard a lot of talk. Talk is cheap. Toys, even little demo toys, apparently are not. So I remain open. Do not send me diagrams. Do not send me ideas. Send me something that demonstrates actual over-unity, and I will lead the parade. I will get out front, and I will broadcast your name from here to wherever. I know I'm being a little facetious, but I've just been deluged with claims over the years, and that's all they've ever been. Of free energy. So I sort of toss out this challenge to anybody who thinks they've got an over-unity anything. Get me an actual example of it, and I'm sure you will become very rich indeed. Wildcard Line, you are on the air.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Where are you calling from?
I am in Orange County.
Orange County. All right. Speak up, sort of project so everybody can hear you. What is on your mind?
Hi, it's about the weather.
The weather?
Weather change.
Yes. What about it?
Hello?
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 Is this Art?
Yes.
Hi, I'll be brief.
Okay.
The stage is set.
It is?
Yes, it is. I heard you last week. Why do you see reports of UFO sightings coming in? Because that is what will be told to the people who do not know God and who are left behind when the Lord takes his people from the earth. That is the great escape, Art, that you asked. From the wrath to come, before the muck hits the fan, the people left behind.
You stole that from my guest. Now, don't you use... Wait a minute. Don't use that. You stole that from my guest. When the muck hits the fan. That was last week. That was my guest last week, and you stole that.
You know why? I've known it since 1991.
No, you stole the phrase.
Do you know why? I read the Bible.
Okay. Where in the Bible does it say the muck shall hit the fan?
No, it says the Lord. We will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we will forever be with the Lord.
What makes you
think?
UFO
sightings.
Yes. UFO
sightings.
UFO
sightings.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much for that. That will do it. He's referring, of course, to the... Oh, I don't know. What would you call this? The hope on the part of some Christians that before the muck hits the fan, the Christians will all, in a giant sucking sound, be removed from the earth. So I've always wondered what it would be like, and I may yet find out, to be here on earth and to walk outside one day and find out that why 80% of the people, or even 70%, maybe I'm being generous here, 30% of the people are suddenly gone. And they were the ones who went to church every single Sunday. They were the ones, like this caller, who read the Bible, quoteth the Bible, and so forth. And they're all gone, taken away by UFOs, and up in God's hand. And then, of course, comes, rough days ahead. But what would it be like? I mean, if you woke up and, anywhere between 30 and 70% of everybody else was gone, and you and a bunch of other bad guys were the only ones left. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Hi, this is Andy from Springfield, Illinois.
Yes, Andy.
Home of the Abraham Lincoln $200 million museum that's opening up here in a couple of months. Hey, I got an interesting little piece for you.
Okay.
Let's pretend I'm your boss and I've just come to you with a new list of rules that you need to abide by or you can no longer work here.
What would they be like?
Number one, no drinking, period. It's an unhealthy lifestyle.
I can live with that one. I don't drink. I don't even like alcohol, sure. So that's easy.
Number two, yes. If you have more than 3 speeding tickets in a year, you're unsafe.
Really? Unsafe at any speed is the way you phrase it.
You're unsafe getting that many tickets, so you're a high risk. Or
yes.
If you're a homosexual and you practice that lifestyle, that's considered a high risk lifestyle.
Yes.
So you can't work for us.
Yes.
Or you don't spend enough hours at the gym. How would you feel if your boss has had that kind of control?
Well, he only has the control that I give him. In other words, if I'm unwilling to abide by those rules, then I'll go find somewhere else to work. And that, I think, still today, sir, even in, 2005, even today, I think that would be the case with more than not. So I don't think an employer would get away with that. And I know you're really referring to the guy who fired people for smoking, right?
Yeah,
even smoking at home. Even smoking at home.
Yeah.
Huh.
And that's opened a Pandora's box. I mean, and his rationale was medical cost. Hmm. Well, you could just go through and list lifestyle, legal lifestyle after legal lifestyle, whether you're obese or whatever.
Yes. Well, CNN interviewed him about that, and he said that he wasn't going to make any other rules. That was his only rule. Now, if you, I'll turn it around on you, and I'll be the employer, right?
Uh-huh.
You're applying for a job, right? Sitting there in your Sunday best, making your case that you're a good guy and I should hire you. And then I hand you a little piece of paper that says, I think I'm going to hire you. Just one thing. You have to sign this little paper that says, while I'm in the employ of my company, Bell Enterprises, you will not drink. Now, when you put your John Hancock at the bottom of that paper, buddy, you know, that's your decision. You see?
Yeah, but that's a door that's closed to you.
No, that's a door that's closed to you contractually.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's a door that is going to be closed to you that normally would be open.
Well, yes, but you are voluntarily accepting the contractual agreement. It's like pulling the door shut on your own thumb. Hey, you sign it, you abide by it.
Yeah, well, I can understand that, but it's an obstacle that should not be there because, like I said, you're opening Pandora's box. Where does it stop? Where does their invasion of what we're doing outside of the workplace?
It stops when you say, no, Mr. Bell, take that paper and put it where the sun don't shine. That's when it stops. And when enough people do that, then it stops. But as long as there are always enough people to sign that little document and sign away some right, freedom, or privilege that they otherwise would have, then it's on them. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. Scott from Orange County, California.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I have a question about EVP.
That's electronic voice phenomena.
Correct. These voices, when the two researchers was on your show, one thing they didn't answer is, do they hear those voices live or not until they review the tape?
It's a very worthy question, and the answer is they don't hear them until they review the tape. However, I had a very long talk with some of my EVP people, and there was a special machine made for them that they are playing with and trying to use that actually allows you to hear live. You know, it uses like a few seconds of delay, and so it actually allows live conversation with the dead, if you will.
Is that in reference to the... those two researchers back in the 70s, but they did it live, but they did it through some kind of you know what I'm talking about? You played the tapes before?
Yes, what they did is, sir, they produced a cacophony of tones that together were able to be modulated by somebody on the other side. In other words, it was kind of an assistance, a way of helping the people on the other side get a message through, providing most of the energy that they only had to then change a little bit to become intelligible.
Okay, so what they did was actually live, and
it's right.
Different technology that you're in reference to the basically a loop tape or something that takes it back. Okay, I appreciate your time, Mr. Bell. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You refer, of course, to Spiritcom tapes, these Spiritcom tapes. And there are those who, as a result of that broadcast, and I knew it was going to happen, and I'm following up very closely, built some of the Spiritcom equipment, and they are now experimenting with it, and we will, of course, have the results for you right here as they come in. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art?
Yes.
Yes, I'm calling from central Manitoba in Canada.
Wow, okay.
And I get your channel just very once in a while. I can pick you up, but I do listen to you when I get the opportunity.
Uh-huh.
A few weeks back, you were playing this tape about in Siberia where they had drilled this hole down.
Ah, yes.
And I went to wake my wife up to come and listen to this, but I didn't wake her up in time.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Well, so since it was already gone by the time you woke her up, she probably wasn't real happy with you.
Not really. That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
You sure are an interesting fella.
Well, I have interesting material, sir.
Yes, you do.
Is your wife awake?
Yes, she is. She's by the radio in the kitchen.
She is. Huh?
Yeah.
Do you really want that? Do you know how it disturbs people when I play that?
You know what? It freaked me out. I could only listen to half of it, and I that was enough for me, but I thought, you got to hear this, honey.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this was, of course, a real wire service story, a Reuters news story.
Right.
And it seems some scientists in Siberia were drilling the deepest hole in the world, and this is all real. I mean, they were.
Yeah.
And they got down, I forget how far it said in the story, and they lowered microphones, and they picked up the following. Here it is. God, that's absolutely awful. Anyway, there it is. And they took their microphones, grabbed them, and ran and filled in the hole. I mean, that was the story, sir.
That's incredible. Thank you very much, I guess.
Whatever it takes to make your night, sir. Happy to help out. Take care. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art Bell, you're great. This is Jim calling from Cupertino, California.
Hello, Jim.
I wanted to ask you actually about Phil Hendry out there in Los Angeles.
Oh, right? I'm so glad you did. You know, somebody sent me a fast blast a little while ago saying, when is Colonel Jameson going to be back on the show again? I'm going, oh, man, that is a fabrication of the Henry mind, the Phil Hendry mind. Now, General Jameson is not a real person, folks. He's never been on this program. Phil is getting so good that people are beginning to confuse this program with his program and his with mine.
Well, and you know, he uses the same Streamlink service to listen on the internet that you do. it's the same login page for the password, so you could really make a mistake. You know, he on his website, he has a clip posted that apparently is a view of your show, like saying how much you like him. So is that really you?
Oh, absolutely.
Great.
Yeah, Phil is a blast, and I think what he does is very funny. I've enjoyed it over the years, and even during those years when I was in semi-retirement, he continued doing that.
Well, let me ask you one thing about him.
Yes.
You know, it's been like 8 years since you let anybody do a bong hit on the air, and he does it like every 3 months. Can I smoke a bong hit on the air right now?
Why would you want to do that?
Oh, it's just kind of cool. You know, it's been like 8 years. It was so long ago when you let somebody, you know, I know it's kind of stupid, I agree, but it's been such a long time. It'd be like a throwback.
Well, it's almost passé, but...
Well, that's true.
But...
Not in California. It's, you know, the law. They just put the new laws in last year.
All right, so is this going to be a medical bong hit?
Yeah, it is. I have a doctor's note. Yeah.
All right, then. All right, go ahead.
Okay, great. And then tell us about the Levitron, but here it is. Thanks, man. You're great.
Goodbye. So there you have it. The first in, nearly 8 years, a medical bong hit right here on Coast to Coast AM. My God. And you ask why we fear open lines. Coming tomorrow night, don't forget, get that email to me, artbell@aol.com or artbell@mindspring.com. Charles Seif is coming up, and we're going to talk about all kinds of interesting way-out type things, other dimensions and what have you. If you'll just stay right where you are, I'm Art Bell in the darkness, which is where we do our best work. Oh,